even here.
Well,
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service. Just remind everybody that it's communion this morning and it's happening early in the service. So if you need to get your bread and the wine, then you need to sort of do it in the first hymn rather than waiting for later in the service. But, we've come together in God's house in search of new life that has real meaning, true value, genuine fulfillment. Here in God's house, we will discover his new life. And we're going to sing together the song, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Let us pray. O Lord, to genuinely experience your new life, we must change radically. We have your word for that, but we resist change because it threatens our security. It deflates our ego. It challenges our spiritless religiosity. It demands a new value system. Forgive us, Lord, for holding fast to things as they are, for holding back from things as they ought to be. Amen. 2 weeks ago, Paul spoke to us about ensuring Jesus is at the heart of our worship. Today, we're going to be celebrating communion. But instead of that coming at the end of our worship, we're celebrating at the start. So as we prepare for communion, let us hear the words written by the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, read by Bob Forrest.
Good morning. The first reading is from Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 33. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that you have come together as a church. There are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there will have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat or drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I have passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together.
Thank you, Bob, for reading that to us. We're now going to come to a time of prayer when we prepare ourselves for communion. And after the prayer, we will have another song and then we will partake of the bread and wine. But first, Stephanie is going to lead us in some prayer. Let us pray.
Lord Jesus, we bow before you in humility and ask you to examine our hearts today. Show us anything that is not pleasing to you. Reveal any secret pride, any unconfessed sin, any rebellion or unforgiveness that may be hindering our relationship with you. We know that we are your beloved children, having received you into our hearts and lives, and having accepted your death as penalty for our sinfulness. The price you paid covered us for all time, and our desire is to live for you. As we prepare to take the bread representing your life that was broken for us, we remember and celebrate your faithfulness to us and to all who will receive you. We can't begin to fathom the agonizing suffering of your crucifixion, yet you took that pain for each one of us. We can only say, each one of us, you died for me. Thank you. Jesus, thank you for your extravagant love and unmerited favour. Thank you that your death gave us life, abundant life now and eternal life forever. As you instructed your disciples, when we too receive this bread, we do so in remembrance of you. And in the same way, when we take the cup, representing your blood poured out from a splintered cross, we realize that you are the supreme sacrifice for all our sin, past, present, and future. Because of your bloodshed and your body broken, we can be free from the power and penalty of sin. Thank you for your victory over death. You took the death that we deserved. You took our punishment. Your pain was indeed our gain. And today we remember and celebrate the precious gift of life you gave us through the blood that you spilled. But while our relationship is secure with you, we know sin can break our fellowship at times. We are still human, and we often forget who we are and whose we are. You want to convict and correct, not shame. You love like a perfect parent. You will never disown or leave. You love us no matter what. But sin hurts both our hearts and yours. So before we take communion today, we ask you to truly search our hearts and reveal hidden things for which we ask your forgiveness. Each time we take communion, Lord, we want to recommit our lives, hearts, thoughts, everything to you. Fill us today with your powerful spirit. When we leave this gathering, help us to hold this fresh remembrance and the story that never goes old close to our hearts. Help us to share its message faithfully as you give the opportunity. In your precious name, always. Amen.
Now I'm going to sing the song, Behold the Lamb.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. And so we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of a bonds of peace around the table of the King. Our Savior Jesus Christ tore for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. Love the King.
So we gather, take communion, remembering the night in which Jesus was betrayed and the sacrifice that he made for us upon the cross. We take the bread. We give thanks as we break it. Then we share it together and eat. In remembrance of Christ's body broken for us. Remember how after the supper he took the cup, blessed it, and he commands us to drink, remembering him, his blood, the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. Let us drink together. Thank you, Lord, for the bread and the wine, remembrances of your body and blood. And now, remember as we sing a song, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you are that King. Are that King of Kings. Are that Lord. Deeper than the valley. Although he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he came to this world as a man, and he met people in this world, and they saw him often just as a man. Janet is now going to read from Luke for us about the time Jesus first preached in the synagogue. Thank you, Janet.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly, I tell you," he continued, "prophets are not accepted in their hometowns. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
Thank you, Janet and Bob, for reading God's word to us today. The thought I want to take us to today is popularity or not. Should we be popular or should we be not? Several years ago, the Time magazine ran a cover story entitled "Modern Saints." And there were several impressive things about the persons described in the article, about the intensity of their love of God, their compassion in their relationships, their sensitivity towards other people's needs and concerns. Most of them shared a deep prophetic concern about social injustice. They were eager to speak out for those who are being exploited by systems and institutions, whether they be political, economic, or religious. That aspect of the story is a gratifying symbol of one of the things that the church should be doing, calling out about social injustice, about justice for those who do not have it. But to appreciate and understand that fully, we need to go right back to the roots of prophetic tradition that are set out in Scripture. So Moses, the one around whom the entire Old Testament story is built, was essentially a liberator. The Hebrews were being exploited under the political and economic system of the Egyptians. They were slaves in Egypt. And Moses protested, despite the privileges that he had as being brought up as the adopted son of the princess of Egypt. He protested so violently, in fact, that he killed an Egyptian and became a fugitive from justice. When he was out in the wilderness, God spoke to him through the vision of the burning bush. And God told him to go to Egypt and to the Pharaoh and to tell the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." As a result of all that, Moses became the great liberator of the Hebrews, leading them to a new life and forming them as a people in the times there. And in Moses' tradition, other great prophets came along: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Micah, Ezekiel, and others, to speak the word of God, to condemn injustice, to stand with those who are being hurt. Amos wrote, "I hate, I spurn your feasts. Away with your noisy songs. I will not listen to the melodies of your harps. But if you offer me holocausts, then let justice surge like water and goodness like an unfailing stream." When we look at all the prophets, we discover that they were not seeking popularity. They were seeking to speak God's word. And often they were not popular. And in the reading that Janet brought to us, we find that when Jesus came to Nazareth to preach for the first time, to preach to the people he had grown up with, it was a big event. Excitement and expectations were abreast in Nazareth. Everybody was in the synagogue to hear what Jesus was going to say. And Jesus chose a passage from Isaiah for his sermon. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, therefore he has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and release to prisoners." And then he gave the scroll back to the people in the temple, and he stood up and he said, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And then he started to tell them what that passage meant, what that passage should mean to the way that they lived their lives. As he began to apply his sermon on social justice to the people gathered there in the synagogue, they grew increasingly angry. Before it was over, they tried to kill him. On this first occasion of his preaching to his former neighbors, they tried to kill him. Such is the fate of the prophet. Reminds us that the church is not called to be popular. That we shouldn't go to church hoping to hear sermons that make us feel comfortable and warm and righteous inside. We should hear sermons that challenge us, that at times challenge our thoughts and our ways of living. Because we're not called to preach what the world wants to hear. We are called to preach what God wants the world to hear. And often the world objects to what is being preached by the church. If there is going to be a prophetic ministry from the church, we need to be preaching what God is calling us to say to the world, not something which is going to make us popular. Back in the 60s, clergymen started to expound on the prophecies, expound on these thoughts about social justice, and often quickly discovered what Jesus meant when he said that a prophet should not be expect to be honoured in his own hometown. One story that emerged out of that situation was about a young clergyman who took a public stand on one of the issues of the early 60s and as a result became the centre of controversy in his fellowship. Then he suffered a heart attack and was hospitalised. One of the leaders from the fellowship called on him and said, "I want you to know that at a meeting last night, a resolution for your speedy recovery was introduced and it passed. The vote was 121 to 118. We shouldn't be looking to be popular. Thank God that at this time, in this pandemic, we've had opportunities to speak out, to speak to people about the love of God. But as this time comes to an end, as we come back into our churches, as we look forward to joining together on a regular basis in our building on the 19th of September, we need to give thanks to God, but we also need to preach the word of God. We need to preach what sometimes is uncomfortable for people to hear. We said, we're not called to preach what the world wants to hear. We are called to preach what God wants the world to hear. How do we know what God wants us to preach? How do we know what message the Lord wants us to give to the people around? How do we know how our church is going to be, how our fellowships, the Baptist, the Methodist fellowships, as we join together back in church? What is the light that we're going to be to the people? We need to remember that verse, by being proclaimed the greatness of the Lord, he has deposed the mighty from their thrones and raised the lowly to high places. The hungry he has given every good thing, while the rich he has sent empty away. What message are we as a church going to preach to the people of Kingsthorpe when once again we are the light in the midst of Kingsthorpe? May God give us wisdom. May God give us guidance. May God give us courage to preach his word. Amen. We're going to sing now the song, "The Lord's My Shepherd," because we cannot do what God calls us to be unless we're prepared to follow him and to allow him to be our shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me. Guides my ways in righteousness, and He anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on His good delights, and I will trust in you, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we admit that we like to be liked, and the more people who like us, the better we feel. No one enjoys being disliked, but sometimes this popularity need gets in the way of values that should be much more important. The main one being to glorify you in all that we do, to hold you in the heart of worship. Forgive us, Lord, for being at times like the Pharisees, who loved human praise more than the praise of God. You remember, Jesus, that you drew massive crowds who wanted something from you, but you weren't interested in being popular, You were just interested in doing your Father's will. And the people ultimately abandoned and condemned you, despised you and rejected you, as Isaiah predicted. Give us the strength, we pray. Be willing to lose the crowd, to stand alone, to be despised for you. To pray not only for those who like us, but also for our enemies. We pray for those that we know who need to be upheld at this time. In the quietness of our hearts, we name them and lift them up to you now. Pray for those who are called to mission, especially now as they start to return to the mission field. We give thanks to you for answering our prayers. We thank you for all the blessings you have showered upon us. Help us not to be selfish, either as individuals or community or country. Help us to share with those who are in need throughout the world. We pray that we might speak the truth in love, even when that might distance us from our friends. Have today celebrated your sacrifice in bread and wine. Help us to hold you at the heart of our worship now and in our lives forever. We pray in the name of Christ our Saviour, who taught us to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We conclude our service by singing the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. God brings life where there has been death, health where there has been sickness, joy where there has been sadness, freedom where there has been bondage. God is always acting in this way. Salvation is upon you now. Go in peace as we say the words of the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Usual notices about prayer on Wednesday and Friday at 11 o'clock in the mornings. Next Sunday morning, 22nd of August, Zoom service at 11 a.m. being led by Martin. And Lois, I think you've got some form of celebration in your garden this afternoon.
Yes, and it looks like the sun might even shine upon us. So there are lots of cakes standing by in readiness. We just need you to come and enjoy them, please. So from 2 o'clock until about 4:30.
Okay, thank you. And Catherine, did you want to say something about ride and strike?
Yeah, can do. Myself and Trevor are going to take part in the ride and stride on Saturday, September the 11th. We're going around churches in and around Plumpton. If you'd like to sponsor either of us, then please do. The proceeds are split between the Plumpton Historic Churches Trust. I keep getting that the wrong way round, and our church. So if you want to join us, it's not too late to say that you want to do that as well. So if you want to go on our sponsor sheets and get in touch with us. Obviously, I might not see any of you personally until sort of September the 19th, but that won't be too late. You can still sponsor me then, and Trevor.
Thank you, Catherine. and a reminder, if anybody's available on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock to be part of the photograph to be taken outside church. I think the information has been circulated to everybody. Has it, Adrian?
You've sent it to the Methodist. I haven't sent it. I was going to send it to the Baptist later today. We're wanting to send another one of our cards out, welcoming everybody back into worship on the 19th of September. And Philip's going to take a photograph at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning this week of as many who want to can be there outside the front of the church with the doors open as a welcome photograph back into worship. So if you are able to be there on Thursday at 11 o'clock, please do. Please do be prompt, because if you miss the click of the shutter, you won't end up in the photograph.
Okay. Oh, can I also say, if you have got bright clothes, can you put them on? Because they'll show up nicely in the photograph if we've got a bit of colour. So put on your coat that's got a bit of zing to it, please.
Adrian?
Yes?
Just in case I'm not in during the week, I might not be in next Sunday, as I'm going to watch my grandson play football in a tournament in rugby.
Okay.
I love you. Oh, and I won't be there next Sunday because I've got a pre-arranged engagement.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
And can I just mention that Donald Burling, who has been very regular on our Zoom prayer meetings and any of our Zoom services, is in hospital at the moment. I've had a message from his son to say that he's really been sort of a week or so that he could have been going home, but they need to organise some extra care for him before he can go home. He had a fall and broke his collarbone. So for those who don't know, let's please do remember Donald. He's been very faithful over the last 18 months in all our Zoom meetings, and he hasn't been able to be with us for the last few weeks because he's confined in hospital, not because he wants to be there and not because the hospital wanted to be there, but because he needs care.
Going to hospital with collarbone.
Okay. Anything else anybody wishes to mention this morning?
For a normal sort of factor, isn't it, collarbone? Yeah.
Can I just ask Lois what your address is again?
Yes, please? It's 178 Obelisk Rise. Do you want a postcode?
No, that's all right. Thank you very much.
Okay, 178.
Yeah, thank you. Hope to see you this afternoon.
Lovely, lovely.
Okay. So, if there is nothing else, then let us say farewell to each other and have a good rest of your day.
Hopefully.
Bye.
Is Sandra okay?
Bye.
Yeah, a friend, her mother's passed away this morning, so she's gone to be with her. So she had to sort of leave in the middle of the caring service. So that's why it's only me. And I had a few sound problems this morning when I logged on. So
I realised that.
Yeah.
I was glad you weren't taking part in the service today, Paul.
Well, so was I.
Okay, thanks very much.
Bye.
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 Goodbye.
Goodbye.